phone and my Bluetooth in. But I'm gonna be late getting to my gate. Security checked again. Pulled out of line and they start to ask me questions. Sit me down and say I better start confessing. This is all surprising. I can't believe they hacked Verizon. In the back room and I'm getting sent for hours. They didn't even buy me flowers. And now there's always someone telling me. Cause my GPS was on. Cause my GPS was on. Cause my GPS was on. So I put my hands up, I'm going to jail. Down and going down on the bay. Nothing in there is like, yeah. Waterboarded like, yeah. I got my hands up, I can never go home. On some Facebook walls, like who's that troll, cause he's on a roll, I think he voted for Ron Paul, said don't dread and I'm pretty sure they got this, that's how I wound up on the internet watch list, no one was supposed to see those emails, I swear I thought that they were females, wherever I go feels like Big Brother is watching, can't leave my house because I'm snowed in, that's when the predator drone hit my living room, cause my Xbox One was on, cause my Xbox One was on. Cause my Xbox One was on. So I put my hands up, I'm going to jail. Down in Guantanamo Bay. Nothing it is like, yeah. Waterboarded like, yeah. I got my hands up, I can never go home. When I just think I'm okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a party, it's in S.A. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a party, it's in S.A.
Don't mind that van outside tonight. What the hell are civil rights? Because we're watching all the time. But it's for your own protection, so it's alright.
So I put my hands up, I'm going to jail. Down and going down the bay. Nothing in it's like, yeah. Waterboarded like, yeah.
Returning to Great Speeches and Interviews on Axis Sacramento and The Voice, I'm Steve Lerman. If you're just joining us, we're listening to What Happened at Dos Eres. This is the true story of Oscar and genocide in Guatemala. You can hear this program at 96.5 FM, or you can go to axissacramento.org, or you can download it from greatspeechesandinterviews.blogspot.com.
Aura went to see Fabio in Petén. A UN official trailed her to make sure she was safe.
Llegamos a la casa,
We went to his house. We knocked on the door. His children were playing nearby around the table.
De la mesa.
He says, come in, sit down. And so I told him, I just come from the UN office and they told me that you wanted to speak to me.
Y él me dijo, así es.
He told me, that's right, I wanted to talk to you because what I have right here in my heart, I cannot stand it anymore. It's hurting me so much. That's how we talked for 4 hours. He told me everything that had happened.
The story Fabio told Aura was deeply upsetting. For nearly 15 years, he'd kept it a secret, even from his wife. He told Aura what he and other soldiers had done at Dos Seres.
Were you mad at him?
Por supuesto que sí.
Of course I was. I didn't want to shake his hand.
Why did you not want to shake his hand?
¿Por qué no? No nació de mí, darle la mano.
Because I didn't. It wasn't in me to shake his hand.
After Fabio confessed, he convinced another soldier to do the same, to confess in exchange for immunity. This soldier's name is Cesar Franco Abanias. They're both in hiding now. We met them secretly at a hotel. The story they told us is disturbing. So again, if you have children with you, it's probably not appropriate for them. Also, if you're sensitive to violence, you may want to tune back in about 15 minutes. Fabio joined the military when he was 18. His dad worked for the Air Force and got him a job, he says, because he had nothing else to do. He eventually became an army cook. And in 1979, the army assigned him to a place called the School of the Caibiles. The Caibiles are an elite special forces unit. They refer to themselves as killing machines. The school is where they trained in jungle warfare, like how to jump out of planes and moving vehicles. As part of survival training, Fabio says, they ate raw snake and dog. He saw people being tortured. Fabio says he tried to make it as a full-fledged Caibil.
Pero también, lo más...
But I just really only lasted about 2 weeks. My knees just couldn't take it.
So that's when you went back to cooking?
Pues me dieron una semana y que estuviera durmiendo.
Well, actually, I spent a week sleeping, and then I went back to cooking.
In 1982, the president of Guatemala, Efraín Ríos Montt, formed a secret ops unit of all the instructors of the school. These soldiers were the elite of the elite. Fabio was their cook, and their job was to deploy on urgent missions all over the country. One of those was to Dos Seres. It was fall of that year, and the army had just suffered a humiliating attack from the rebels. Several soldiers had been killed. So commanders called up the special unit. Cesar, the other soldier we talked to, told us the story. Unlike Fabio, Cesar has the bearing of a soldier. He's serious, rarely smiles. They have the same interpreter.
O sea, nos dijeron que una patrulla de la zona 23.
They said that a unit from our brigade had been ambushed by the guerrillas, and they had taken 21 rifles.
At the time, the military was waging its scorched earth campaign where they destroyed any village they suspected of helping guerrillas, even something as small as giving them some food. In this case, officers told the unit that guerrillas were keeping the rifles in Dos Seres.
Y nos dijeron de que nosotros...
And they told us that our mission was to recover the 21 rifles that had been taken. And so the plan was we'd go in the dead of night for surprise.
Their strategy was to pretend that they were guerrillas. That would make it easier to sneak in. It would also make it easier to later blame guerrillas for this attack. So they disguised themselves. They wore green t-shirts, camouflage pants, and red armbands. They rode in vegetable trucks that they carjacked off the highway. When they reached Dos Seres at 2 in the morning, they found a quiet, peaceful village. Too small, in fact, to even be a full village. Residents were still asleep. They were mostly small-time farmers who grew beans, corn, and pineapples. Though when the Caibiles arrived, Cesar says, they expected something different.
Mire, la verdad es de que nosotros...
Well, we were expecting that they were going to shoot at us because we thought that the people in Dos Seres were all communists. And so we were expecting them to attack us. We were waiting for them to attack us with heavy armament, and it didn't happen. Nobody shot at us.
They split off into smaller groups, including an assault group of the fiercest soldiers. Cesar says these were the soldiers who were normally in charge of capturing prisoners, interrogating them, and killing them. Psychopaths, he called them.
This assault group was given the task of getting everybody out of their houses. They put the women and children in the church and the men in the school. And so when they had everyone together, some of the women at the church began to scream for help, and they were raping them. They didn't respect anyone.
Both soldiers, Cesar and Fabio, say this was the moment when the mission turned from recovering rifles to something darker. It started with a lieutenant who grabbed a girl and raped her in front of her family. And because he was one of the highest-ranking officers, other soldiers started doing it too throughout the day. Here's what Fabio saw.
There was a girl about 12 years old, and a guy grabbed her by her hair and dragged her along, and just there in the little field to the side, that's where he raped her.
One group of soldiers, including Cesar, was ordered to guard the perimeter of the village. People could enter, but no one could go out. Others, including Fabio, were ordered to start bringing people from the church and the school to a nearby well.
La primera matanza fue un bebé.
The first massacre was of a baby.
Oye, esos...
I heard crying, and I looked, and I saw Gilberto Jordán and Manuel Pocsun carrying the baby.
Tiraron al bebé al pozo vivo.
They threw the baby alive into the well.
Así es como empezó la matanza.
And that's the way the massacre began.
Los niños.
The first were the children.
It was like an assembly line. One by one, soldiers grabbed villagers, blindfolded them, and dragged them to the edge of the well. Along the way, many of the women were raped. This is Cesar. He brought people to the well, too.
Las tenían en orilla del pozo y les preguntaban que dónde estaban los fusiles.
And as they were brought to the well, they were asked, where are the rifles? They said nothing about rifles, and they were hit on the back of the head with a sledgehammer and thrown in the well.
Did they ensure that they were killed before they were thrown in the well?
No, la gente caía al pozo, pero...
No, people fell into the well, and then all of a sudden they reacted, they screamed.
How many people did you bring to the well? Did you bring to their death?
Aproximadamente unos 15, como 15.
About 15, around 15.
Were you ever asked to kill anyone?
Sí, pues
Yes, when I took the first person to the well, Lieutenant Rivera told me to throw the person in the well. He did it so that we'd all be implicated in what happened.
What would have happened if you said no?
Nos matan.
They would have killed us.
Great Speeches and Interviews is your source for in-depth information about the economy, war and peace, climate change, and more. Now with more speeches and more interviews than the leading brand, also contains tasty tidbits of humor and song, fortified with more debates than the other brands, and all comparisons are fictional, broadcast on Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. on KUBU 96.5 FM.
It's a mighty hard road that my poor hands have pulled. My poor feet have traveled one hot, dusty road. Out of your dust bowl and westward we rode. And your deserts was hot and your mountains was cold. I have worked in your orchards of peaches and prunes. I've slept on the ground in the light of your moon. On the edge of your city you will see us, and then we come with the dust and we go with the wind. California, Arizona, we make all your crops. Then it's up north to Oregon to gather your hops. Dig the beets from your ground, pick the grapes from your vine, to place on your table your light sparkling wine. Thank you. pastures aplenty from dry desert ground. From the Grand Coulee Dam where the water runs down. Every state in this union us migrants has been. And we'll work this fight and we'll fight till we win. Well, it's always we ramble this river and I. All along your green valley I'll work till I die. My land I'll defend with my life need it be. All my pastures are plenty, must always be free. Yes, my pastures are plenty, must always be free.
Now, back to what happened at Dos Eres and the true story of Oscar and the genocide in Guatemala.
Incredibly, one person managed to escape from all this. He was 11 years old. His name is Salome Gomez Hernandez, and he didn't live in Dos Eres. He and his brother showed up later in the morning to visit their uncle. By sundown, the well was filled with bodies, and soldiers forced a group of women and children, including Salome, out of the church where they had been held, put them in a line, and led them to the forest. Some women carried their children. Some were pregnant. We talked to Salome in Guatemala City. He's 42 now.
All the women were resisting. They didn't want to go, so the soldiers started pushing and beating them. I remember one of the women saying, well, we're not dogs for you to kill us in the field. We know that you're going to kill us. Why don't you kill us right here? That's when I decided to run.
Salome waited for a soldier to turn away, and then he sprinted into the woods. He ducked behind a tree trunk and hid. The soldier fired a shot in his direction. He fired again. Salome didn't move.
I was very scared. I was trembling. And then I saw them gathering the women, and they took several steps back, and they started firing, shooting the women. You could hear all the women in mourning. They were screaming. And then you could still hear some of them wounded, but they were still alive. And after that, you could hear some solid shots, like they were killing them one by one. The ones that were still alive.
At the end of it all, the entire village was wiped out. No rifles were ever found. Salome escaped, and according to Fabio and Cesar, this patrol of killers spared just two other people, both young boys with light skin and green eyes. 3 months later, the second in command of the squad that wiped out Dos Eres, Lieutenant Oscar Ramirez Ramos, showed up at his mother's house with a 3-year-old boy and a fake birth certificate. He introduced him to his family as his son. In 1996, the Dos Eres case landed on the desk of Sarah Romero, the assistant prosecutor who contacted Oscar. She was a rookie, just a year out of law school, and she had almost no support from her own ministry. This was the same ministry that at one point had dismissed the remains at Dos Eres as dog bones, so the case wasn't exactly a priority for them. It was just Sarah and one other colleague working it on their own. They had almost nothing to go on. They couldn't even prove the military was behind the massacre, never mind which unit of the military or which members in the unit. So when Fabio and Cesar came forward, it was an unprecedented break. Sarah's office had to create a witness protection program specifically for the two of them, because before that, they hadn't had any witnesses to protect.
El paso siguiente.
The next step was to confirm all the pieces of information that the Caibil witnesses had given.
Remember, Sarah was trying to do something that had never been done before in Guatemala. There hadn't been a single trial against members of the military for crimes they had committed during the war. So she knew if she was going to build a case that would win, she needed more evidence. She didn't have names for most of the victims, so she poked around until she found a teacher who lived near Dos Eres, who had taught some of the children from the village back in the 80s. Sarah asked her to remember, as best she could, the names of her former students. Sarah used those names to track down relatives. Because of Fabio and Cesar, Sarah did have the names of the other Caibiles who had been at the massacre. so she started tracking them down too, which meant walking up to their doorsteps and confronting them face to face, including a Kaibil who took one of the green-eyed boys who was spared that day. The Kaibil's name was Santos López Alonso.
Nunca había tenido enfrente a un Kaibil.
I had never faced a Kaibil before, and because of the description that I had of the Kaibiles, I thought that he was going to be armed, and that if he knew that I knew something about those R's, he was going to shoot at me, or perhaps he was going to capture us and torture us.
Were you armed?
No.
Your colleague?
No, he wasn't either. None of us was armed.
Sarah and her partner had to leave their car on the road and walk through the woods to López Alonso's house. They told their driver to call the police if they didn't come back. They approached the house, and there was López Alonso, lying in a hammock.
Cuando lo vi, pensé que no daba miedo.
When I saw him, I wasn't fearful at all.
Why not?
Porque se miraba como un campesino.
Because he looked like a campesino, like a peasant.
Sencilla.
He was just a simple person, a person without education, and not as ferocious as I imagined him to be.
Tan feroz como yo me lo imaginaba.
López Alonso was polite and invited them in. At first, he wouldn't talk about those setas. Then Sarah told him that two soldiers from his squad had already come forward, and he started telling the truth. My oldest son, Romero, has a sad story, he told him, and he confessed to taking him from those Zetas. When Sarah tracked Romero down, he was serving in the military that had killed his family. The fact that he existed and that he was saved by one of the Kaibiles and raised by one of the Kaibiles made it nearly impossible for the Kaibiles to deny their involvement in the massacre. At the same time, Sara started to look for the other boy who Fabio and Cesar told her was spared, but it wasn't as easy. The soldier who allegedly took him was dead. That soldier's mother, who supposedly raised the boy, was also dead. The soldier's brother refused to talk. His sister was also reluctant, but told Sara that in 1983, he did indeed come home with a 3-year-old boy. The boy was chubby, with broken teeth. His name was Oscar. After his grandma died, he'd moved to the U.S. illegally. She told Sarah she had no way to reach him. So Sarah stopped looking. For 10 years.
Coming up, and the Oscar goes to... Where did he go to? That's in a minute. Chicago Public Radio and Public Radio International when our program continues. It's American Life. I'm Ira Glass. If you're just tuning in, we're devoting our entire program today to a massacre of a village in Guatemala called Dos Eres in 1982 and the attempt to bring the killers to justice, which took years. One of the ways that we know about what happened at Dos Eres is from secret cables that have been declassified that were sent back and forth between the United States Embassy in Guatemala and Washington, D.C. These cables show that back in 1981 and 82, embassy officials heard lots of reports about the army massacring whole villages throughout Guatemala, which they dismissed until finally in 1982, at the urging of the State Department back in Washington, they got in a helicopter to see for themselves if the stories were true. And this is just a coincidence. The site that they happened to investigate was Dos Eres. They flew their helicopter low over the village. They saw the burned out houses. They looked for but found no survivors. They landed in a nearby town where the mayor told them that the disappearance of every man, woman, and child from Dos Eres was simply a mystery. The United States concluded that the Guatemalan army was responsible. But they kept this a secret, didn't discuss it publicly. And for years afterwards, the killings continued, and the U.S. knew about it, but stood by. Before the break, you heard about how Sarah Romero started her investigation, how she found one of the two boys who'd been taken from the village, but couldn't find Oscar. She had enough evidence to start trying the case, though, and got arrest warrants for 17 members of the army squad that was at Dos Eres. And then nothing happened for nearly 10 years. Soldiers filed motions and appeals and stalled the case before it ever got started in the Guatemalan court system. Finally, the Inter-American Court of Human Rights looked at what was going on and declared that these appeals were paralyzing justice and ordered Guatemala to bring the soldiers to trial. And that is where our story picks up.
Okay, who out there wants to make more money? Of course you do. We all do.
That's right. And that's why we're here here tonight to teach you how to make lots and lots of money off the brand new phenomenon known as Obama Mania.
You know, zillions of Americans witnessed the Obama inauguration, but just watching history wasn't enough. People wanted a souvenir, and there were plenty of options to choose from. Obama t-shirts, hats, bobbleheads, calendars, posters, mouse pads, Obama pajamas, the list goes on.
That's right. When I first saw souvenir Obama candles, I wondered, wow, do they smell like Obama? Can I make my living room smell just like President Obama?
So after Genius here spends $100 on Yes We candles, we realize maybe we should jump on this bandwagon and make some money for ourselves.
That's right. We've got a brand new line of Obama merchandise. I started it personally. I took my old pet rock that I had accidentally bought back in the 70s, slapped Obama's name on it, and poof, a pet Barack. $29.95.
Then we created an alternative line of Obama bumper stickers, including our bestseller, Move Over God, Obama's My Co-Pilot Now.
Plus, there's more. For breakfast, how about a great big bowl of Cheery Obamas? A great source of hope, change, and calcium.
And don't forget to add some delicious, Yes, We Can Believe It's Not Butter.
Plus, for dessert, how about a great big bag of Oreo Obamas? Black enough to make history, white enough to leave Republicans comfortable.
We also have personal hygiene products. So now you can use Reverend Reichgard deodorant to protect against embarrassing inspiration.
And remember, the president's initials are B.O. So join us now if you'd like to make lots of money. We're waiting for you.
That's right. Just pick up the phone and call us right now. Obama Raiders are standing by. And if for any reason you're not happy with your purchase, we would be happy to refund your money entirely in quarters. Now that's change you can believe in.
And now for something completely different.